Do you minister to God or yourself during your prayer time? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, this is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. Now, last time in our subject of prayer and our discussion, we ended up with asking the question, why and when should we pray? And imagine being in a relationship, and being in a quality relationship takes work, and it takes time to develop. Those who stop talking to one another, they usually find a way to the door, don't they? They leave, and often they don't come back. Now, normally two people who have stopped speaking, they really no longer have a relationship. Can you imagine if you only spoke to a good friend when you needed something? You're worried about a situation at work, so you need to run things past them to get their input. Maybe you're bothered by something, so you need their support. Maybe you wind up using your friend as a sounding board. Well, if that's the extent of the relationship you have with that other person, then that, my friend, is no relationship at all. It's a one-sided situation, and it's destructive. Soon, the other person is going to grow tired of literally being used by you, and they're going to look for the nearest exit. All people want to be loved. It's the way we are made. God wants us to love Him as well. And we're not showing our love for Him if all we do is present our request to Him. We need to do that because He is our Father. But we also need to spend time simply praising Him for all that He has done for us. We should pray whenever we think of it. Do we need to be reminded to talk to our spouse or good friend? Hopefully it comes naturally. And if it doesn't, there truly is a problem. Our conversation with God, and that's exactly what it is, by the way, should be as natural as discussing anything with a loved one. When should we pray? Often. But we need to get past the idea of thinking that prayer is merely talking to God. I've already mentioned what it would be like if we only talked with a friend, and when we had something to say and didn't really care whether or not they had anything to say back to us that didn't relate to us. We want their ear, so we talk. We have something on our heart, so we vent. This is part of a working relationship, but it's not the only part. If prayer for you is relegated to simply unloading, then you have not gotten to the real depth in prayer. Prayer must be a two-way street. God needs to speak to us, but I'm not talking about some ethereal, esoteric feeling or experience where we think we actually hear the voice of God. I'm talking about God speaking to us through His Word. And the more familiar you become with God's Word, the more things you will have to pray about. Have you ever been reading His Word and stopped to ask God why something was there? The other day, I was reading Exodus 29 through 30 as part of my daily devotion, and I came to this phrase, quote, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office," unquote. That's Exodus 29, verse 1. Now, I find that phrase, "to minister unto me," fascinating, don't you? God wants us to minister to Him. Now, in Exodus 29, God describes what the priests should wear and how they should do their duties in their tabernacle. So the phrase specifically refers to the priests, Aaron and his sons. In the act of fulfilling their priestly obligations, they were actually ministering to God. Consider that and what it means. When we pray, we can be praying selfishly or we can simply commune, talk with God. Now, one of the things that bugs me is when I hear people leading prayer and their prayer goes something like this. "Dear Father, please help us to worship you in truth, Father. And Father, may our eyes be open, Father, to that truth, Father, which is found only in your word, Father. Help us to live lives, Father, that bring glory to you, Father." And it goes on and on. Do you see what's happening here? Who talks like that in normal conversation? My wife's name is Sylvia. I can only imagine how ridiculous it would sound if in the course of conversing with her, I said something like this. "Sylvia, would you mind if we ran errands now, Sylvia? I'd like to go to that store, Sylvia, then to the other store on that list, Sylvia. Sylvia, I would also like to hit the grocery store, Sylvia, last, because we'll have cold cuts, Sylvia, and whatnot that will require refrigeration, Sylvia." Now, how asinine is that? This is what we do with God. Why do we do this? It's because we don't understand that he simply wants us to talk with him as opposed to talking to or at him. Imagine how annoyed your boss would get if you repeated his or her name as many times as I have said the word Sylvia in the previous example. They would wonder why on earth you were doing that, and rightly so. I used to do this all the time until I realized what I'm sharing with you. People who repeat God's name a lot aren't really talking with God. They are essentially more concerned about how they are coming across to those who are listening. That's the sad fact. And to top it off, they may ask someone close to them how their prayer was, as if it's graded. We need to set pretense aside, and we need to simply talk with God. We need to do it often, and we shouldn't have to be reminded to do it. This is exactly why we are told to pray without ceasing. Do you have to be reminded to talk with your spouse or very good friend? It comes naturally, doesn't it? It should be the exact same way with God. We should want to talk with him. We should want to dwell on his word. If we do not do this, then something is wrong, and we need to figure out what the problem is before we move on. Don't worry. Just ask God to help you figure it out, and he will. How should we pray? Well, here are some scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:4 says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Philippians 1:3-4. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. You know, knowing how to pray and knowing when to pray are equally important. And knowing how to pray is important for knowing how to live the Christian life on a daily basis. There are many sections of Scripture that teach us how to pray, and we would do well to learn from them. Here are just a few. Psalm 66:17. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. Notice that David is saying that he cried out to God with praise. That's important to understand. Paul talks about the same thing. We should enter his courts with praise. Psalm 95:2, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Again, note the emphasis on praise. There were many times in the life of David before and during his reign as monarch that he was troubled. It caused him to cry for help. But almost invariably, he would end his psalm with praise to God for who he is and what he does for those who love him. Matthew 6:9-13 says this, after this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This prayer is beautiful in its simplicity. The overall focus is on God. And the very first thing that the prayer says is that God's name should be hallowed or praised. It should be lifted up. God is above all things and is completely separate from his creation. He should be treated like that as well. Too often, people think they know best. People want to take God on, to call him out. The reality is that God laughs at the professed profundity of humanity. Quote, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. That's Psalm 2:4-5. We should take the time to recognize who God is. And if we do that, we will be more willing to humble ourselves before him. When we begin to come to this point of knowledge, we have begun to arrive indeed. Note also that we should only be concerned about today. It says, give us this day our daily bread. We're not to be concerned about tomorrow. This does not mean we can't make plans. It means we should not inordinately be concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow, how we will react to things, and how all of it is going to affect us. We should deal with it when it arrives by giving things to Him. To busy ourselves with concerns for a day that has not even arrived yet means that we're wasting the day we are living in. We should live in the here and now, not the then and tomorrow. We should pray with the belief that God is guiding our lives. He wants us to guide us into those areas that bring us growth and Him glory. This is the essence of being a Christian. And the sooner we come to realize that, the sooner we will get to live it. Our prayers should mirror the way we feel about God. And too often, we doubt or grow concerned or angry about a situation when in reality, we should have our full focus on Him and what He can do and what we can do to reflect this light of Him to a dying world. He will take care of it. Satan wants to enslave us. If he cannot successfully keep us from becoming a Christian, he will do what he can to keep us from walking successfully as an authentic Christian. One of the ways we learn he does this is through temptation. God does not lead us into temptation, but Satan does. We should pray that we are not led into temptation and for God to deliver us from evil. Again, this does not mean that evil will never touch our lives. Ultimately, God will deliver us from all of it, even if it means that he uses death to accomplish it, as in the case of martyrdom. You know, it's easy to use prayer merely as a direct request line to the throne in which we seek to have all of our wants fulfilled by the living God. There are too many people teaching this type of quote-unquote theology today, and unfortunately, because of it, too many people believe it. God is not our genie. He does not sit on his glorious throne in heaven, desperately waiting for his children to make their requests known to him so that he will provide them with every whim, every wish. Yes, we are to make our requests known to God boldly, but those requests need to fall in line with his will, not ours. If you are the type of person who simply comes to God when there is a problem in your life or when you want something new that you do not have, I would implore you to rethink your understanding of prayer. The difficult part of prayer is in the not knowing. Anyone will tell you that. We know that we need to have faith. We know that we need to see through the darkness of not knowing to faith, believing that God will answer according to his will. We also know that there is so much that we are unable to discern about prayer. The Bible tells us much, and if not studied thoroughly, we could end up with the wrong impression about prayer. By taking verses out of context, it's easy to arrive at a conclusion that says God will heal sickness every time. We can erroneously believe that God wants to bless me materially in this life. There are many conclusions we can draw about prayer that are far from their biblical reality. Questions concerning prayer arise that are difficult to answer. We look at the book of Job, for instance, and we see the man, Job, who was righteous. Yet in spite of that, God allowed Job to be tested and tested severely by the enemy of our souls. We learn from Job's experience that Satan has tremendous power and that power is kept in check by God alone. In essence, then, Satan can use whatever means is necessary to overcome a believer, even temporarily, if allowed to do so by God. Folks, that's our show for today. There is so much, and we're going to continue talking and discussing prayer in our next episode. But until then, I would ask you to take what I've talked about today and prayerfully bring it to the Lord. Ask him for his truth to guide you into it. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to see how richly, truly blessed you are. I'm Dr. Fred.
Demons in Disguise, Nephilim Nightmare, Politics, Islam, and the End Times, Interpreting the Bible Literally, The Pre-Trib Rapture. These are just some of the books written by Dr. Fred DeRuvo, host of Study Grow Know on AM 950 K-High. Whether it's the tribulation, the rapture, politics, Islam, or the end times itself, Dr. Fred DeRuvo offers his conservative and biblical perspective on these and other subjects. Look for his books on Amazon.com or at StudyGrowKnow.com.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.